I'm really excited about today. We have a great day planned. And what I'd like to do is to start. I asked Bond and Heather, they're here this weekend. They decided to pop in from Nepal just to see us. And we're really happy about that. So I've asked Bond if he would come. And they've been, I'll just let you share it. I can start telling the story, but, you know, that's like one of my character defects is telling other people's stories and not giving them credit. But hey, there you go, sir.
Well, good morning.
We come from the heart of Kathmandu.
The next slide will put that on.
Okay.
When you want to show it, just hit it.
Just hit it? Okay. So John was sharing with me that he wants to, you know, to just reward you guys with thankfulness and goodness for those that are graduating that made it. You know, and he wanted me to share about some of the graduates from our school in India and also in Nepal. 2 years ago, we started a school of ministry and also a Bible college in Kathmandu. And so we had our first graduating students from Kathmandu that finished the two-year course, which is it's tough. You know, we've had, you know, 40, 50 people come through it, but only five graduate from that one. But we also do a school of ministry where we have these young guys come in, and it's only about a year course, and then we get them in there, and then we after they graduate, you know, we sit with them, we ask them, what do you guys want to do in life, you know, and we wait for them to tell us what they want to do, and then, you know, we make whatever they desire when it comes to the things of the Lord, we make it happen. And so we have guys that graduated from India that we sat with and said, what do you want to do? What's your heart's desire? And one of the young men that graduated a year ago, he said, I want to go to Bihar. Bihar is a state in India. It's one of the most poorest states in India, probably on planet Earth. It's one of the most hostile environment to the gospel. I mean, they're very hostile to Christianity. India as a whole, in their government, they have allowed open religion for all, but each state gets to determine what they're going to allow. And so in Bihar and other states, they have determined that Christianity is not allowed. And this is one of the hostile environments. So this young guy, he's about 21 years old. He said, I want to go to Bihar and start a Bible study there. And so we said, so tell us how you're going to do that. And so he declares everything to us, you know, and so we tell them, okay, we're going to support you in this. We're going to financially partner with you. And it's not like the American dream, right? The American dream, you know, $25,000 a year is a joke to many, you know. But to them, it's $100 a month that can support a ministry and support him and to do ministry. And so he goes out, and so we pledge $100 to him, and he gets out there. And he starts a Bible study, and it begins to grow really fast there in Bihar. And so I don't have the picture with here, but I showed it last night. There's this room just filled with people that are loving Jesus. And so the next time we see him, we ask him, so tell us, what's your heart desire now? You know, and he says, well, I want them to continue growing in God's grace, but I have begun other ministries in different areas in Bihar. And he goes, and I have this rusted bike, and he shows us this bike. I mean, it's, you know, the worst condition of a bike that you can imagine here in the state. It doesn't even compare. And so he says, what I do with this bike is I get to a different location, I start a Bible study, and then I start visiting them. And so he has this route that he goes on, you know, every week. He just goes to these different cities in this bike. And so we said, how can we help you? And he said, give me a better bike, you know, pedal bike. And we said, all right, we can do that. We get him a motorcycle. And so, but that, by the way, that's because of your guys' wonderful grace in the area of finances towards the ministry. So now on a motorcycle, he travels into these different places, and he's doing a wonderful work. And so another guy we want to tell you about, his name is Pradeep. He says to us, I want to go to this area where it's a Muslim area in India. And he says, and I have a relative. We said, is your relative saved? He says, no, but that's why I want to go. And so I want to go, and I want to start a Bible study. And so So we said, then go, you know. And so we give him $80, and that's what he gets paid, $80 a month. And that's his livelihood. That takes care of his ministry and himself. And so he goes and he starts a Bible study, and it begins to grow. And so it was really neat. Last year, at the end of last year, we went and visited him. And he said, you know, Vaughn, he had these five guys and gals. They came and he said, I want you to join us as we baptize these people. Baptism is not a joke. When you baptize somebody, you're saying, I am changing from my ways and I'm identifying myself with Jesus. And that's typically what we believe here. But there it's serious because they'll kill you. They beat you. They do all kinds of stuff. So these five people want to be baptized. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's go baptize these guys. He says, so we're going to come over on Sunday. And I said, where do you want to baptize? And I'm thinking in the mountaintops and the hidden streams, you know. And he says, right up here in the river right here close by, about a mile away from here. And I started thinking, wow, that's down in the valley. That's where all the sewer and sewage and all this bacteria is in the water. And, you know, and the brave guy that I am, I said, you know, it's not good that I baptize your guys, you know, because I don't want them to think that there's some power in the American. So you baptize them, you know. And I was just avoiding the water. I mean, it was, you know, you get in there, worms grow in there with these bites of these bacterial fungus and, ugh, it's just... But you know, he, again, you know, he's doing amazing work. And what's interesting to me is that these guys are coming out of high school and they just want to serve the Lord. And they said, and we offer them nothing. We offer them just a good teaching. We'll pay for that. We'll teach them the Word of God, instruct them. And then we'll say, what's in your heart? And they said, we're going to go. Whether we have money or whether we have, you know, nothing, we're going to go and serve the Lord. And so that's how it is with many of the people. And so this is the picture of, there you go. These five have graduated from the Bible College in Nepal. From your left to the right, from where I'm standing is Milan. This guy is, you know, when he first came to Nepal, he didn't speak any English. You know, a few words, hello, you know, how are you? And now he speaks English correctly, not like me. You know, he's very good in his English. And he says, I want to go anywhere that the Lord leads me to. And so his uncle started a great work in the West there where there was no Christians. And he started a great work and his ministry is blossoming. And his uncle said, I want to take him and put him about 10, 15 miles from where I'm at and have him start a church there because we have believers there. And so he's going to take on a ministry up in the mountaintops there in Nepal on the west side. The guy next to him is one of my favorite guys. His name is Prakash. When he came to the Bible College, he couldn't get up at 11 a.m. I mean, he'd show up at class at 1 you know, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., you know, 10, 11. And then I show up, you know, and I'm like, hey, where are you? And he's like, I have a problem, Vaughn. He goes, I just can't wake up. He goes, no matter what it is, I can't wake up. I can stay up to the wee hours of the morning, but I just can't wake up in the morning. And I said, you know, Jesus died for you, and he went to the cross for you, and you can't get up at 7 a.m. for him? You know, and of course, I'm joking, right? But I tell him, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God would put an urgency in your heart to study his word and so that you'd be here on time. And so I came back to the U.S. and I came back the following semester and he's there. He's up at 7 a.m. and I said, hey, bro, what are you doing? He says, I don't know what happened. He goes, all I know is that, you know, I wake up and it's like 6 a.m. and I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I can't just stay up this whole time. So I'll take a shower. I'll go to class. And now he wakes up early in the morning and he graduated and we had done earthquake relief in the mountaintops there in about 3 hours from Kathmandu. And we had these young men and women give their lives to Jesus. And he has placed it in his heart. God has placed it in his heart to travel up to this area every other weekend to minister to these people and start a church in this one area where there's no church at all. And so it takes us about a 3.5-hour ride on a Jeep. But him in about an hour and a half, 2 hours on a motorcycle, he can get out there. And so, again, we were able to purchase him a motorcycle so he can do that very work. But as he's going to the mountaintops, he stops at different places. and shares the gospel. And so these young guys are graduating with a purpose in their heart. And their first purpose in their minds and in their heart is to serve the Lord. If God gives them a job, that's a bonus to them. You know, good, I can take care of my own self with this job, but my priority in life is to share the gospel. And I love that about these young guys, because that's kind of the urgency I had in my life when I gave my life to Jesus, is that, you know, the job is great, you know, and it's fun to work for me. I mean, to work hard, because I know from the finances I'll be able to tithe, I'll be able to do outreaches, I'll be able to go share the gospel. But that was always secondary. The priority in my life was Jesus Christ and to serve him some way, some fashion. And so, and these guys have taken that on in their hearts, and it's amazing to watch. I have so many stories about these graduates. We have a ton of them from India and here in Nepal as well. And so I just wanted to say on behalf of the graduates, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your finances, and just keep praying for them, because they're doing a work in a hostile environment. John? Thank you.
Hold on a second, Don.
I want to pray for Bond and Heather, and I've just been excited and blessed just by what God's been doing. You know, I know that Bond was in the part of the chapel for quite a few years before God called him, and he worked at the demolition company, and he lined up the tools for the guys, and it was actually a pretty good job, and he liked it, but you could always just tell that wasn't his heart. And you know what? I just know now from being with Bond and talking to him, and just that it's just, there's nothing as great as doing what God made you to do. And I think if we can all figure out, listen, what is it that God really wants you to do, and do that, you're going to just find so much peace and joy that you won't know what hit you. So anyhow, I'm thankful for Bond and Heather and Brianna, and let's just pray for them. Father, I just thank you and praise you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. I thank you for Bond and Heather. Thank you for the fact that you're working in their lives and the places you've taken them and what you're doing through them and how they are just so, Lord, just doing the thing that you've created them for. I just pray your continued blessing on their ministry. I pray for all these young men that he mentioned that are starting churches in different places in Nepal and India, and then for the other graduates. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just continue to pour out your spirit and your blessing through Bond and Heather in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you. Okay. Before we get to the graduates, I want to do something with the graduates, but I thought I like to continue on. To me, it's like we got to always get into the Word. And last week we started the Sermon on the Mount and a recipe for happiness. And so I've kind of had this little theme about recipes. And I think part of the recipe for happiness is figuring out what God has for you. But then part of that's going to be through seeing who God made you to be and being that. And anyhow, as I think about this, there's some ideas of, this recipe idea. And one of the things Mike mentioned that tonight at the thing, we're going to be having some food. One of the things we have is hot dogs. But hot dogs, this is like, I don't want to run you off because I know hot dogs. But one thing I figured out is that around the country, there's different recipes for hot dogs. And so I have a few here. I'll let you see. Do we have any sound there, guys? Hot dog can be more than a hot dog. And you know, like you say, there's all those ways are good, and there's a lot of different things you can do. But and to me, that's part of it. It's like, okay, that's part of like what I get out of bonds thing is like doing what God's called you to do. We're a body. We're not all called to do exactly the same thing. And so it's not like, oh, well, I need to do what you're doing or you need to do what I'm doing. You need to figure out what God has for you, and then you need to do that. And so we're going to continue on real quick. I got a couple verses out of the Sermon on the Mount that I wanted to share just to kind of go back to where we were. Sermon on the Mount, remember that's started Matthew 5, the first part. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and I just want to review, this was, since I was over there, I really was excited about using my map from there. And so the area where this was happened was probably up in this area. It's called the Mount of the Beatitudes, which makes sense. And then that's over here, kind of in that northern, I guess, western part of Galilee. And then I was blessed to be able to have the opportunity to just teach the Sermon on the Mount there at that spot. And that was really cool. It was a beautiful spot, sunset, overlooking the... there I am, in case you can't find me. Now, we did most of the Beatitudes last week, but there's two that are left that I think fit really well with graduation. And so that's why I thought I'd go ahead and continue those. And it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And part of what happens is when graduation is all about ending one thing, starting another. You graduate, you know, I know some people have kindergarten graduation. It's pretty exciting. We've had kindergarten graduations where kindergartners put on cap and gown, and it's pretty fun, you know. I remember my cousin when she got through with kindergarten, and then the next year her mom was taking her down to school my aunt was taking her down to school to the first grade, and it was in September, and she started crying and didn't want to go. And then her mom's like, you know how it is with little kids sometimes like that, they do something and you not really get what's going on here. And so she was crying and fussing and she didn't want to go. And her mom's like, no, come on, let's just go. It's not, you enjoyed school. Like, why are you acting like this kind of thing? And finally she said, I don't want to be in there with all the big kids. She didn't realize that not only had she graduated from kindergarten, but so had all of her friends, and they're all moving along too. She thought she had to go into the next class with all the bigger kids. So anyhow, one of the things about this that I think is really interesting, and we talked last week a little bit about blessed, or that word blessed, and blessed means kind of like happy, contented, joyful. And yet this doesn't really seem like that, like, happy or contented and joyful are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That seems a little harsh. On the other hand, I think the reason that you could be happy in this is because blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not because you did something wrong, because you did something right. That you do the right thing, and that still can happen. Look, it says, blessed are those, and here's where there's kind of an interesting change that takes place. All the other Beatitudes, they're blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. Then this one is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then the next one is really a repetition of this one. And it said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But there's a major shift in this verse, even though it's a repetition. Because notice this, before this it's all been, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are these, blessed are those who are persecuted. And now all of a sudden he makes it personal. Blessed are you when others revile you. Revile, I looked that up in case we needed a definition here, to speak about someone or something in a very critical or insulting way. Blessed are you, when others speak about you in a critical, insulting way, and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And I think that this is one of those places where all of a sudden this sermon goes from, oh, kind of out here to, you know, this is good and these are good and these are good. And then, but here, what about you? And you're going to face this. And you're going to face this in your life. And you're going to be, you are going to be blessed when this happens to you. And I was thinking about examples of people reviling and speaking evil about me. You know what? Honestly, God, I don't know. Maybe I'm not really doing the job I need to be doing, because people, I don't really get, either I don't listen, I don't pay attention, whatever. Occasionally I get somebody saying something a little on the negative side to me. Probably my best example of me, and it's really not the kind of persecution that Bond was talking about at all, but someone gave me a bad Yelp review. It was horrible. Well, but then I felt blessed. The situation was, you can look it up if you want. It's still online. I wouldn't take it down because I don't get much persecution. It's there. And you can look at the chapel when it was on in Rolando. That's where the review is. And so, you know, it's still there. But basically, his friend, a guy I knew that when I was at the Rock, and he was going to get married, I did their premarital counseling. I did their wedding. Shortly after they got married, his wife was expecting a baby. So he came and wanted to have, like, marriage counseling, because he said that, well, they hadn't really been married long enough and that it was going to be hard and it would affect their relationship to have a baby. So he wanted to give the baby away for adoption. And he thought I should tell his wife that she needs to submit to him and obey him and give the baby away. I'm like, dude, I think you're... And she's like, please don't... And I'm like, dude, I think you're making a huge mistake here. Like, you just kind of need to man up, and you're now a dad, and you just need to accept it. And maybe things didn't go the way you planned them out on your life plan for the next 20 years, but... No, just quit. Go home and be happy you have a baby on the way, and shut up. Like, I was not a whole lot more gentle than that. I was slightly more gentle than that, but not a lot, because he kept, like, arguing about, like, what are you saying? I go, you think this is going to help your relationship with your wife by tear her baby out of her arms and give it away? I don't think you get it. She's going to get rid of you before she's going to get rid of the baby. And so he wrote that up. Basically, that pretty much, he put it as my bad Yelp review and why he didn't think I understood the Bible and whatever. So, you know, sometimes you face it. Sometimes you got to face it. And, you know, I think that one of the things, it kind of, as I was thinking about this, kind of to help graduates a little bit, is, you know, whatever you've been doing to get to this point in your life, I'm just thankful you're here. I'm thankful you've grown to this point. I know a lot of people who graduated, they graduate from high school. Other people, there's a couple other people who've graduated from other institutions. But, you know, it's like part of life is you go through, whether at this point now you may go on to another school, you may go on to a job or some other aspect of life, whatever God has for you. But in all those situations, your life's going to change. And the change in your life, sometimes it's hard. And sometimes, you know, you may have grown up in an environment where people are just like, hey, encouraging you and blessing you. And then all of a sudden, sometimes you go someplace and you go to some school, or you go with new friends, or you meet, you know, you'll lose old friends, you'll meet new friends. And some people will just start saying things that'll kind of like make you feel a little embarrassed about being a Christian. and kind of like make you feel it's hard for you to continue on with the Lord. And sometimes if you try to be, oh, yo, you're goody two shoes, you're this, you're that, who do you think you are, why do you think you're better than that? No, you don't have to think you're better than anybody else. Listen, you want to stay humble. But also, if somebody does say something about you, Jesus said, blessed are you when others say mean things about you and lie about you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on his account. And he says, look, rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. Why? Because they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And honestly, if you'll figure out what God has for you in your life and you'll move ahead, it doesn't really matter what anybody says. You live for Jesus. Look, if everybody's saying bad things about you and everybody's angry with you, that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing the right thing. It sometimes can be a good sign, but sometimes, you know, you might want to examine, like, what's driving what I'm doing here? Could I be maybe more polite? Could I do, you know, like, there's a time for a little introspection on that. But the reality is, when you realize, look, this is what God's calling me to do. I love these people. I care about them. Peter makes another comment on this with regard to this that I thought kind of helps add a little bit to it. So I'm going to read that as well. Finally, I kind of think this is funny because this is like 1 Peter chapter 3. It's five chapters. And he says, finally. I could tell Peter's preached a lot of sermons. See, it's like if I say finally, but I'm not even close to the end yet. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Then this is where he kind of, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Somebody says something bad about you, you don't have to say something bad about them back. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be the God's will, than for doing evil. And then he says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So blessedness, look, it really boils down to you honor Christ. Honor Christ. And how can you be blessed if there's persecution? How can you be blessed if people are reviling you, saying bad things about you? How can you be blessed? You know what? Because your goal is to honor Christ. Because as the song said, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And then the other thing I think to say is, you aren't alone. So they did to the prophets. So they did to Jesus. So they did to many, many other Christians. Really, honestly, for most of us, our big persecutions are things like bad Yelp review. That really just says the truth, and I agree with what he says. But we feel really bad. Oh, somebody said something. Hey, you know what? You live for Jesus. You honor Christ. You walk with him. And you know what? Yeah, is somebody going to not like it? Yeah, there'll be people that don't like it. That's okay. Then what you do, what do? You pray for them. You bless them. You encourage them. You show them the love of Christ. You don't have to return. Somebody saying bad, you don't have to return that with saying bad. They mocked and beat and mistreated Christ, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen, they stoned him, and he said, Lord, don't lay this to their account. Listen, that's where we go. And as we do that, God will take your life, your testimony, your witness, and he'll use that to convince others of the truth of the gospel. And people's lives will be transformed because of how you reacted to somebody reviling you. God will bless that. Listen, I want to have the people who are graduating, I want to have you guys come up, and I've asked somebody to say something, parents or others, to say just a word about you. So I might be missing somebody, but I have Mr. Nathaniel Hosmer. Why don't you come up here with your parents or whatever? And then Mr. Mason Shibuya. Are you here? Okay. And Miss Lane Torsey. So, and then I've got Mrs. Melissa Halmaji. She's coming. She graduated here just recently, not in this semester, but recently. Mr. Jeffrey Dorsett, he's graduating. Mr. Michael Becker. And Miss Diana Suda. And Miss Cassiana Pacheco. You guys come up. And then I'd like your parents or whoever I'd ask to speak, if you come on up here. Here, Mr. And I just wanted somebody to say a word about you guys, and we're blessed by you, and we want to be encouraged by you, and want to be an encouragement. I'm going to start here with right here with Steve, and you can.
Sure.
Okay. Cool.
Nathaniel Alexander, gift of God, defender of men. You're valuable to me and to others, because you're a creation of God. You hold value in his name, and you hold value in the eyes of others, because you've done what's right. You're a blessing. You've become a friend. I'm proud of you. You have a purpose. Follow God in doing that purpose. Carry it out. Follow him all of your days, and you'll bless me greatly. And you'll bless others in doing so.
Just pass the mic down.
So I'm extremely proud of Elaine. She graduated from law school last month, which is a huge accomplishment. It's extremely difficult. And not only did she finish all her work in her classes, but she also worked almost every semester while she was in school, and did such a great job working that she already has a job lined up. And when she graduated from school, she was the president of the Student Body Association at a school that has 600 or 700 people. And additionally, her last semester, she got straight A's, and she got an award for getting the highest grade in one of her classes. So I'm extremely proud of her.
Michael, graduating high school, I'm very proud of him. Also, for my wife, who's the teacher, and but very proud of him. He's a great son. He's humble. He loves people. He's a servant. Has a servant's heart, and looking forward to seeing where he goes from here. He's apparently going to take a gap year here and work and do some more photography and video making and things like that. And then we'll see where he goes from there. And we actually have two graduates. Rachel also got her associates, multiple associates. I'm not sure, two or four of them. I'm not sure. It's either two associates and two certificates, or four associates and two certificates, or something. I forget. But anyway, she's over in Amman, Jordan, and proud of her. She's studying Arabic over there, and we just got a word from her this morning that she's with the host family and getting all settled in and had her first class over there. And we were a little concerned, thinking she'd probably be with a Muslim family, not because it's a Muslim family, but because it's Ramadan. And with the whole eating and fasting that they do, she can't fast that long. So we were a little concerned about her being able to eat, and she sent a message saying she misses everybody, and she's actually with a widowed Orthodox priest's wife. Well, he passed away 4 years ago, but obviously it's a Christian woman that she ended up being housed with, so don't have to worry about the Ramadan thing. So anyway,
amen.
Congratulations, son.
Amen.
Some of you know Jeff as the quiet guy who sits in the tech booth and does the words. Some of you know him as this humorous guy in 17 Plus or the HSM group. And some of you know him as the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. But I get to know him as the mom and the teacher. And I've had the privilege of watching him grow over the years, and I'm super proud of the man he's becoming. I'm impressed with his character and his convictions and his commitment. His character, I appreciate his humility. He has lots of reasons that he could trumpet his accomplishments, and he doesn't. He's a very humble guy, and he elevates others. I appreciate his sense of humor and his optimism because it makes it a pretty fun place to be around the house. And I appreciate his pursuit of excellence, the way that he studies his piano, his Awana, his school subjects. I'm impressed with that. And his character drives his convictions, and I'm impressed that he's following convictions and not convenience or the culture. And I like who he's becoming. And I appreciate his commitment to school, piano, his studies with Kirill and the play, all the ways that he has shown his commitment. But the greatest commitment that he has shown is his commitment to his faith and to his God. And because of that, I can be super excited about his future. And the I have to take a moment and just say, the Hosmers and the Dorsets have been friends for many years. We've homeschooled together. We've been through MOPS together. In fact, at one point, someone said, "Hey, Dorsmers." And so so I am very, very grateful for their family joining our family in our journey together. And so it's fitting that our families would have a graduation party together. So next week at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall, we will be having a joint party for our boys to celebrate their friendship and to celebrate their futures. Thank you. Amen.
Well, congratulations, Diana. And I just want to thank everybody. And, you know, the day Diana was born, I truly was blessed with a little angel, and she brings nothing but constant joy to me with every time I think of her. I think you spoil your daughter more, having a son and a daughter. I think you really, just the joy your daughter brings you, it's so easy to spoil you, and but we're also more protective. You know, that's my daughter, so you guys better watch out. you know, she's very courageous growing up. You know, I remember the time they were, we had a swimming pool in the side yard, and David just thought that was the greatest thing. He says, "Dad, watch this." And he jumps back and he runs as hard as he can, and he just dives into this swimming pool. Diana wants to be just like her big brother, so she runs as fast as she can, squaddle up. And in her mind, she is just like him, and she stops at the edge of the pool and climbs in and jumps out miraculously, just like brother, huh? And so, hence the story goes. And, you know, we did our best to teach her, but I have to admit, she taught us quite a bit. And my wife and I, we wake up in the morning, we have our coffee, and we just sit around and think about, you know, our kids and what they're going to do that day. How are we going to help raise them? How are we going to watch them grow? And what are they going to grow into? And even this morning we were talking about what does the future hold for them? It is just, but Diana, you know, through her very determinated soul she has and hard work, when she makes up her mind to something, out comes the list. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's when the house gets clean, the dishes get done, the laundry gets done, She just knocks it out, just checks things off of her list, and do not get in her way. If I had to say something like, what is her passion, it would be, okay, here's her job description. Organizational systems development consultant. How's that, Diana? That kind of fits you to a T. So when the road hits the pavement, I put, she's very... So Diana has the same ethics with her commitment to God and reading her Bible, and very, very childlike. She brings some profound questions to us that just blow us away, and her true, you know, love for Christ, and to get a deeper understanding. And when that light bulb goes on, it is just an amazing thing. When you say, wow, Dad, did you, you know, dot, dot, dot. And those are just such enjoyable moments that we've had with you. You know, she has a huge heart for the whole world and all the pain in it. And she, and speaking of that pain, she truly loves her mom and dad. Family and friends very much. And she knows she's in God's book of life. And I want to thank this church for their unconditional love for my daughter and our family. Pastor John for all his love and teaching. Mike with the CHS and Cindy Wallace for the youth group, her friends, and Christina. Christina, where are you? Are you here? So, the Soto family and Uncle Bo. It is truly a wonderful family that we belong to here. And congratulations again, Diana.
I haven't been able to push this guy around for the last few years. You say, I'm going to be 72 this year, so sometimes I focus more on the past than I do on the future. But all these young people up here, they are our future. My new grandson, who's, I think, over in the other room now, he's the future, too. Have you ever had anyone say you can't do something? I graduated from Grossmont High School in 1962. My counselor had been a teacher in 1920, the year the school was started. So by the time 1962 rolled around, she was old, crusty, and didn't think much of my ability as a student. As a freshman, she told me I couldn't take a foreign language because I couldn't even master English. And that stayed with me for about 4 years. And when I started taking some foreign language classes, I actually got 30 college credits in foreign languages. So sometimes there are others who tell us we can't do something when we can. And for a while, I put a limitation on myself, thinking that I could never master mathematics or technical career fields. But by the time I was 40, I had passed the first half of the land surveyor's examination. And ever since then, I've learned that you can do something. You can learn new things. Getting back to my son here, I wasn't sure this senior year. He took a class in journalism. And I wasn't sure how that was going to work out for him. It was a new experience. But then, well, as of today, he's got a 105 average, which I guess is an A plus, 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 plus. So I just want to say, encourage your students. They can do anything they put their mind to. Pass on.
Good morning. Well, first of all, I just wanted to elaborate a little bit more about our future. These young people here today are our future, and they are going to continue on living their lives according to how God wants them to, and bring new hopes and new possibilities to the world. And that these people are just wonderful young people, and we're just so blessed to be up here, being able to be a part of their lives and to see exactly what they're going to be doing with their lives. And Tessiana has been an absolute treasure and blessing to my family, to everybody that she comes in contact with. She's just loving and warm, beautiful on the inside as well as on the out, and it's been such a wonderful blessing. And I just can't believe now we're at this point where these young people are now going to be leaving our homes and going out and making homes someplace else, or going to college, or continue on, maybe getting married, maybe, starting their own family, however that they choose to live their life. Hopefully we will see great, prosperous things from them. Tessiana has always been very conscientious person. She's always had this, before I leap, I want to be able to think things through thoroughly and be able to make the right decisions. And having that relationship with Christ has really guided her in that direction. And I know that with this guidance that she is going to make such wonderful and just awesome decisions in her life, that she is going to bring such great respect and admiration, just from the people that she'll be in contact with as she goes through life. And she already has. She's met, of course, Jeremiah and his family, and they've welcomed her into their family as if they, she was their own daughter. And so I just thank you for that. And Jeremiah, being such a wonderful, godly young person himself, you attract those people as you go through life. And this is, we attract the same likeness in other people. So it's been such a treasure. And I'm just thankful that we are here. And thank you, Jesus. We got her to, Tuesday she'll be 18. So I'm thankful for that. All this time we want to get them to this point, to being 18, graduating on their own, and out there into the world, and be able to make just wonderful and blessings, decisions. And we're just thankful. And I know that she'll just do wonderful in this life. So thank you for allowing us to come up here and be able to, share a little bit about our kids. Thank you.
So this is Melissa. This is my wife, not my kid. That's fine. In case there was any confusion. We started dating a little over 2 years ago, and right before she was going to go back to Fresno, where she's from, to complete her credential program, because she wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And on one of our first dates, I remember asking her, why do you want to be a teacher, right? It's a good question to get to know the person you're dating. And her response is really telling of the kind of person Melissa is, and the kind of teacher that she's going to be. To paraphrase it, she said she wanted to share Christ's love with kids who needed it. And for that reason, she wanted to be a public school teacher specifically, because there's a lot of broken kids coming from broken families in public school. And she wanted to not only be an influence in their lives, but she wanted to be a godly influence in their lives by, whatever means possible. And so that was one of the first kind of hints that she might be a keeper. She's probably keep around. I mean, marry her one day. And so then over the next 2 years, she went back to Fresno, and she worked very hard at the credential program. She got straight A's, I believe. Kind of a nerd. And she I think she missed one class because she was sick, but other than that, she went to every class, and that's more impressive to me, really. And just being able to watch her work so hard, study late, wake up early, And being able to watch her and know, you know, in the back of my mind that she's not doing it because she wants this piece of paper that's going to let her get a job, that's going to let her get money. She did want those things. Those are good things. But ultimately, she wanted to do it because that would enable her to glorify the Lord with what she did. And that's just one of the many ways she's been a blessing and example in my life. I can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for us. So.
Cool.
Mason's dad is letting us know that Mason had 4 years perfect attendance in high school. So congratulations, Mason. Very good. And a couple other things I wanted to mention, and that is Maddie Van Kirk. She's working up at Pine Valley. So she also is graduating, and Zahara isn't here today, and she's also graduating. So when you see them, congratulate them. We're congratulating, and also Rachel, I was going to mention, but Scott already mentioned her. So we're going to congratulate them in absentia, since it's a, you know, like time of the year for that kind of thing. So what I'd like to do is just pray for all the graduates, their families. Then here's what I want to do after that. We're going to kind of end the service a little differently than normal. What I'm going to do is just invite you to get up out of your seat and come up and have these guys here and just come down, shake hands, congratulate each